Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Parsha class learning at Ohel, Parshas Yisro. Finished with Tu B'Shvat. We did an interesting exercise Friday night at the table. We also had company, so I saw the kids. The pasuk says in Devarim, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh, man is a tree of the field. It's talking about Tu B'Shvat. What reasons could we think of that man is compared to the tree of the field? So different reasons, of course. And moving from that, we move into Adar and Purim, which will very shortly be upon us, Ezra Hashem. So here we are, Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Matan Torah is the giving of the Torah, or the gift of the Torah. Kabbalas Torah is the receiving of the Torah. But actually, well, let me just give you the Parsha summary first. Upon hearing about the exodus from Egypt, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yisro gathers Tzipora and the two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and he journeys to the camp of the Bnei Yisrael near Har Sinai. Moshe goes out and he greets his father-in-law. Of course, he fills him in on the details of the miraculous intervention of the Jews. Yisro is the first one who says, Baruch Hashem, Moshe Yitzias, Chem Biad Mitzrayim. Yisro says, Baruch Hashem, he is the first one, the Gemara says, who gives Shavach for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yisro is the first one who gives praise for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael gave praise last week's parasha as Yashir for Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisro is the first one who praises God for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yisro suggests Moshe should appoint judges to lead and judge the people, an idea to which Moshe agrees. On the first of Sivan, beginning on Perikei Tes, chapter 19, the third month after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the nation arrives before Har Sinai. Moshe ascends the mountain. Hashem speaks to him. Of course, we have the revelation at Sinai and the very famous foundational Aseret HaDibros, thunder, lightning, the sounding of the shofar, and all the people hear and all the people see. And that is the foundation of our peoplehood. The parasha closes as Hashem transmits additional laws to Moshe. So this is an overview of the parsha. However, I actually want to begin in last week's parsha. The reason some of my friends make fun of me, they say that I almost always begin in last week's parsha. So I said, not always. No, they make fun of me in a loving way. So they say, very often, you go back. So I said, it's very hard to look at a parsha in isolation, especially because events in the Torah are juxtaposed to each other on purpose. So you have to look at the proximity of one thing to another. And when I was learning through last week's parsha over Shabbos, Chumash with Rashi, I was very struck by something about the man. The man is the bread of Emunah. Good. How, on the most poshut level, you had today, and what are you going to eat tomorrow? I don't know. They went to, you know, sleep at night with no food in their tent, and they have to believe that in the morning is going to be man. It is compelling, a bread of Emunah, to note that the first three letters of the word Emunah, Aleph, Mem, Nun. The Aleph is the Anochi of Hashem. The Mem and the Nun are the man. The bread is the Emunah. The man is a bread of Emunah. I was in Gourmet Glot Wednesday night. I went late after class, and I very often go after class. I'm in and out in 20 minutes. Was anyone else there Wednesday night?
It was a nice choice.
I have been up since 6, the tram very early. Wednesday is my busiest day, Kanainahara. Then I walked into Gourmet Glot, and I almost wanted to cry. I was there it took me an hour and a half. It literally looked like Erev Pesach. And then I told myself that there are many people who, I said, this is exactly where Hashem wants you. And there are many people who would love to be in the situation, stocking up with food for their home and their family, their Shabbos guests. When I shared that thought with a friend, she said, what a powerful reframe. I said, another friend of mine uses the word reframe. She says, that's because she's a social worker and I'm a psychologist. So I was able to see the bracha, but I was very tired. The point is, we stock up like there's a famine coming. And Mamish looked like Erev Pesach. Like it took me an hour and a half. I walked in at 9:30. There was no parking in the parking lot. And there were no shopping carts outside the store. I'm not joking. My daughter says, what do you do? I said, there were two carts. I took one of them. But the man, you went to bed, and you hoped that in the morning, God's going to give you food. And that's really how the outlook that we should always have. The Gemara says, someone who has food in their basket today and worries about tomorrow lacks Emunah. So the bread is fundamental bread of Emunah. And this is how they live for 40 years. But over Shabbos, something struck me as unbelievable. It was the first place I'm sharing. I went to Shul Shabbos, and actually after davening, shared it with Robertson Friedman. I was so excited. I noticed it Friday night. The man is something else. It's not only a bread of Emunah, It's a bread of stira. It's a bread of contradiction. Let's look and see how the bread of man, min ha-shamayim, emotzi lechem min ha-shamayim, is not only a bread of faith. What does it mean to have faith? It means when life is full of contradiction, I still believe. That's the man. And today's class is going to understand how events in last week's parsha were a prerequisite to Matan Torah. So let's look at the man. I mean, for your own reference, Perek Tes Zayin, okay, chapter 16 of Shavuos. So they travel from Elim, they had 12 springs of water, they come to Midbar Sin. They're right away complaining. Rav Salvejik says this is the problem of the Jews in the desert. They're murmuring, they're complaining, they're always murmuring. Vayalunu, call Adas b'nei Yisrael, Moshe v'Aaron b'Midbar. They start complaining against Moshe and Aaron in the desert. And what do they say? Whoa, we're going to die in the desert. Would that we have died in the land of Egypt. We sat by the flesh pots. We had so much bread, we ate to satiation. You took us out to this desert to put us to death with Ra'av. We're going to die of hunger. We have nothing to eat. We're going to die of hunger. First they didn't have water. The water's too bitter. Now they don't have food. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to rain down bread from the sky. And the people should go out. V'lakatu dvar yom b'yomo. How much should they pick for themselves a man? However much you need for that day. That's how much to test them. Will they go in my Torah or not? What's the test of the man? So we have to understand this. I mamish never understood it before. This Shabbos, Baruch Hokeach Ivrim, and it was such a tremendous revelation. I guess the pun is intended to me. What's the test with the man? What's the test? Pick how much you need for that day. And then Hashem says, on the sixth day, they should prepare what they will bring, and on the sixth day, there will be daba. Right, so that's Erev Shabbos. Why? Because no man falls on Shabbos. So Moshe and Aaron say to the B'nai Yisrael, in the evening you will know Hashem took you out of the land. Okay, the Slav come. We went to an interesting museum last year in Israel, in Beit Shemesh. Rav Natan Slifkin has a biblical animal museum, and they have Slav there. He said these are the Slav. I always thought it was a big bird that translated as pheasants. They're these teeny little birds. It was amazing. All right, okay. We're not talking about the Slav today. Okay. The dew lifted up, and there's this thin layer of frost on the earth. And the people see this, and they say, Manhu, almost like a play in words, Mahu. What is this? They don't know what it is. Kilayadu Mahu. Why do they call it Man? Mahu. What is this? They don't know what it is. So Moshe says, yeah, this is the bread God's giving you to eat. This is what he commanded you. Ish lefi achlo. Lik tu mimenu ish lefi achlo. How much man should you pick for yourself? How much? However much you could eat. However much you could eat. Rav Moshe Tversky, I'm reading his biography right now, Hashem Yikom Damo, he tried very hard, not try very hard, is a Gaon, a Gadol, Torah, Mitzvos, Mitz Chasadim, Halacha. But he was very makvid not to overeat. He only ate what he felt he absolutely needed. The last Motzei Shabbos of his life, his wife was preparing some food for him, and he begged her, and he said, please, she warmed up two portions. I thought it was so interesting. I just read over Shabbos with the insight of the man in mind. Warmed up two portions, and he says, please, I'm begging you. I need your help with this. Don't warm up more than I need. He only wanted one portion, not two portions. So how much do I need to eat? However much I need, ish lefi achol, only as much as I need to keep me alive. Omer la gogoles. I got an omer la gogoles for every person in the tent. So if you have six people in the tent, you're going to pick six omer la gogoles. Everybody's going to get one measurement of man. The B'nai Yisrael did this. Okay? Whoever took more came back to the tent. He had an omer la gogoles. Whoever took less, he had an omer la gogoles. So far things are making sense. Right? There's a system. Savichuk says in nature, we want things to make sense. Man wants 2 + 2 to equal 4. We don't like when things don't make sense in life. We don't like when 2 + 2 = 5. I don't mean that literally. I mean that metaphorically or proverbially. All of a sudden it doesn't make sense and I'm confused and nature goes berserk. Salvajic says one little cell goes berserk. Man doesn't know what to do. We could put a man on the moon, he says. But we don't know what to do. When one cell goes berserk, I want 2 + 2 = 4. So far things make sense. Moshe says, I'm telling you, it's going to fall every day. Pick how much you could eat. For that day, if you pick more, you're going to come back to the tent. You're going to have the same as the guy who picked less. Okay? Don't leave any over till the morning. Here's another instruction. So they didn't listen to it. So they're testing. So they leave some over till the morning. And what happens to it?
It's rotten.
It gets wormy, and the pasuk also says vayiv ash, which is translated as it stink. But when else do we see that word? Who remembers? By Makos dam. The pasuk says vayiv ash hayar. The river stink. It's so interesting. I'm not sure what the connection is, but nothing in the Torah is by accident. Why does it say by Makos dam vayiv ash hayar? And here it says that the man is vayiv ash. Perhaps the message is when you don't go in the way of Hashem, no matter what is, even something as heavenly, divine as man, is going to become, it's translated as it stank. It became foul. So now that instruction was, don't leave any man over till morning. Okay, so we got the instructions. Pick every morning. Comes down with the dew. It's like in a little box. Take how much you need. Omer lo gogolis, for each man according to what he could eat. Don't leave it over till the morning. Every morning they picked what they needed. Whatever was left over, it melted in the sun. On the sixth day, what happens on the sixth day?
Double.
They come back to their tents, you know, she says, and they find what they picked is double. You know, when you leave your challah dough, and it's this high, and then I go out on errands, and I come back an hour later, and it's this high. Rashi says they went out, they picked a normal amount, they come to their tent, instead of it being an omer l'gogolos, what is it now? Two omers l'gogolos per person. Now it's double. Shnei ha'omer l'achad. It's two omers for one person. Does 2 plus 2 equal 4 anymore? I'm asking you a question. Does 2 plus 2 equal 4? No. Doesn't make sense. You gave me instructions. You told me the rules. You told me pick how much you need. Omer l'gogolos. Only l'fi achol. Don't leave it over to the morning. Important. Okay. So they go out on Friday. They come back to the tent and they say, I came back to my challah bowl. What's going on? The princes of the congregation, not the Erev Rav, not Dasan and Aviram, the troublemakers, the princes of the congregation, the Chashuv leaders, come to Moshe and Aaron, and they say, what's going on? This isn't what you told me. Remember, I renamed the man. It's the bread of Amunah, but we're calling it the bread of
Stira,
which is contradiction. This is an outright blatant contradiction. You told me, don't pick double, only pick one. If I picked double when they came back to the tent, everyone had equal. The schnorrers didn't have more, the misers didn't have less, everybody had the same. Friday morning, we come back to the tent, and there's so much, and they're perturbed, and they don't understand. So the Nisim, the appointed leaders, come, they say to Moshe, what's going on? So what do you think Moshe says? What would you think Moshe says? I can't hear. Who's talking? What?
On Shabbos, you can't pick it.
Right. So Shabbaton, Shabbat, Kodesh, Lashem, Machar. Shabbaton, it's Shabbos. Tomorrow is holy to God. What you have to bake today, today, bake. What you have to cook today, cook. Hanichu lachem l'mishmeres ad haboker. What does Moshe tell them to do?
Leave it over
till the morning. The whole week you're telling me you only get an omer l'gogolos. The whole week you're telling me don't leave it over till the morning. It's going to be vayiv ash. It's going to be tolas. It's going to be melted. Now I come to you and I say, what's the pshat? And you say to me, oh, on Friday, 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. On Friday, there's a new set of laws. But I skipped over the first thing that Moshe says. The key to understanding stiros in our life. The first thing Moshe says before Shabbaton, Shabbat Hashem, which is exactly what you said, which is correct. Vayomer Aleihem. The first thing he says, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. This is what God has decreed. This is what God has spoken. You with your finite mind, mortal man, can't understand? Hu Asher Diber Hashem. The first thing you have to know when it comes to the stira, the contradiction, when 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4, because Yom Shishi is different than Yom Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, something's not making sense. I picked an Omer, I have two Omers. Now you're telling me, Dafka, leave it over? You told me, don't leave it over. Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Hanichu, leave it over. So they left it over till the morning, and it wasn't Vayivash, and there was no worms. And Moshe says, eat it today. It's Shabbos for Hashem. Lo timtza uhu basada. You're not going to find in the field. The whole thing contradicts. All the instructions are now new instructions. 6 days you shall pick. On the seventh day you're not going to have. And it was on the seventh day. People went out to find it in the field. And of course, they didn't find it. Why didn't they find it? Because it's not there on Shabbos. And on Shabbos you get lechem yomayim. And they rested on the seventh day. They called it man. 1 second, please. 1 second. Before comments, I want to continue with setting up all the stiros, and then I'll take your comment. Then I'm going to tell you what Rav Salavitchuk says about life. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, there's another instruction. God commands. What else does Hashem say to do with the man?
Take a small portion and set it aside.
Put it in the Aaron.
Okay. So, first you're not supposed to leave it over till morning. Then you're allowed to leave it over from Yom Shishi to Yom Shabbos. But not longer than that. But then, Moshe says to Aaron by the word of God, Kach tzinsenes echas, you know what? Take one jar, v'sein sham and meloha omer man, put in an omer of man, the amount you're supposed to eat every day on the weekday. Put it in the Mishkan, l'mishmeres l'dor seichem. Now Rashi, by the way, says this is out of order. The Mishkan was not built yet. So when the Mishkan is built, they got the man for 40 years, so this is not a problem. Take an omer of man, put it in a jar. It should be a safeguarding for generations. So now it's not lasting one day, and it's not lasting 2 days, and it's not lasting a year. It's lasting till the time of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Bais Risham. Bimei Yirmiyahu. What was the point of this mishmeres? Rashi says, L'gniza. You know the Cairo Gniza? For safeguarding, for storage, for safekeeping for generations. When Yirmiyahu would rebuke the people, and he would say to them, why aren't you Oseikin Torah? You're not learning Torah. And they would say, leave us alone. What should we do? We should leave our work, and we should go in Torah? Where are we going to have parnasa from? I'm telling you, Rashi outside. We need, Rashi uses the word parnasa, nispardes. I can't stop working. I have to go to the work because I can't learn Torah because I need parnasa. Yirmiyahu would take out the tzinsenes haman, this jar of man, and say, Ru'u dvar Hashem, see the word of God. Ru'u, see, with this your forefathers had their parnasa. Harbe shaluchin yesh l'makom l'hachin mazon l'reyav. God has many messengers to prepare sustenance and food for those who fear him. That's the man. It's a bread of stira. Nothing about the man makes sense. But what's the key when we're faced with stira in life? The first words of Moshe, when they come to Moshe with the question, who, Asher?
Dibar
Hashem. Before I go on, you want to say something?
Yeah, considering that Hashem had just given, or is giving them the Torah, and he's going to tell them, Sheshes Yomim, Tasem Alechtecha, V'yom Ashvi Lelechtecha, why wouldn't Hashem have instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them, Lechatchila, that the man was only going to be for the 6 days.
So Moshe gets in trouble for that. Rashi says that. When they come and they say to Moshe, what's going on here? Rashi says it's because he didn't preempt it and tell them.
Okay.
Because by Mara already, by the sight of the bitter waters, they already got three mitzvos. Shabbos, by Mara, they came to bitter waters. It precedes the man, okay? Certain point in their desert travels, after the splitting of the Reed Sea, they come to a place of bitter water. They can't drink the water. Moshe throws in a stick. It becomes sweet. And it says, Sham sam lo chok umishba sham nisau. There, God gave them certain mitzvos, and there they were tested. What mitzvos? Shabbos, para aduma, or kibbut of aim, depending on what Rashi really meant. Shabbos, para aduma, and dinin, monetary laws. Well, they were told about Shabbos, but Moshe did not follow through with the instructions, and Rashi says he should have. Okay. And that's why they don't know what's going on with the man.
My other comment is that it just sounds like this mishmeret of the man is like a precursor to teaching us about Hafrashas Challah.
Why?
Because Hashem is telling everybody, take aside a portion of it. You have all this challah, you have all this man, take part of it away, and that's what we learn out from later on when we're told to take Hafrashas from the dough that we make.
And that's also for the
Mishkan, for the Kohanim.
Right, the Hafrashas Challah goes to the Kohanim.
That was just one thing. It wasn't everybody taking out a piece.
Yeah,
it was just one thing.
One sinsenis of man.
Yeah, it wasn't
it wasn't every single person who had a chiv to do that?
Aaron took a jar of man and put it in the Mishkan. Okay, so Rashi specifically says, "Harbei shluchim yesh lemakom." That Yirmiyahu said, there are many messengers that Hashem can prepare to bring food to those who fear Him. So the man is parnasa. Rashi uses the word parnasa. The man is sustenance. The man is emuna. Aleph mem nun of emuna are the anochi, which is the first of the dibros, and the mem and the nun. But it's a total bread of contradiction. And it might sound pasha. Maybe you thought of this. I never occurred to me. talk about the man being Ben Amuna. Mamish never occurred to me that the whole thing with the man does not make sense. Rashi, Rav Salvechik says, quote, we must sometimes engage in voice, mute, passive acceptance. What are you supposed to do when life is full of contradiction? And this is one of the reasons that the man had to precede Matan Torah. The man is when their food, their leftovers, their matzah ran out from Mitzrayim. Rashi says, listen, Hashem could do whatever he wants. Could have given us the Torah first, and the man could have fallen down after. It's arranged in a certain order to teach us something. Why do you have to be faced with the contradiction of the man before Matan Torah? Why? Says the Rav. He's not asking that question. I'm asking that question. A Jew must accustom himself to the idea that not all questions have answers. This is a general rule in Talmudic pedagogy. The scholar who feels an imperative to resolve all difficulties, in fact, is not a scholar at all. The sons of Rabbi Akiva Eger would recount, their father was never pained, listen to this, never pained by a question, nor gladdened by an answer. It's an unbelievable madriga. If I have a question, it sounds like I could have a question for a few years, and I get the answer, I'm like, really happy. Ein simcha kataris asveikos. There's no joy like the resolution of doubts. I'm like, well, I'm happy. But if the question never bothers you, because your understanding is that contradictions don't have answers necessarily, then the answer doesn't make you so happy. He was not bothered when confronted by a difficult question. At the appropriate time, he did not hesitate to say, the question requires more thought. May God enlighten me. When a difficult question, you know, it's so interesting. I said we're coming up to other, but even talk about questions. Talk about questions. But we're coming up to the Pesach Seder. And the whole Pesach Seder is based on questions. Rav Salvechik says, when a difficult question is posed in the Gemara, the response sometimes is teku. Mm-hmm. Teku is an acronym. It stands for Tishbi Yeba'er Kushios Uvayos. Eliyahu Navi, when it comes in the end of days, will solve our difficulties and our questions. It means some things don't have answers. Even Chazal. And we got Torah Shabbal Peh from Har Sinai. When we got Torah Shabbichtav from Sinai in this week's parasha, we also got Torah Shabbal Peh, the oral law and the written law. Okay. So Rav Salvechik says,
I'm sorry, could you say that again, Tishbi?
Tishbi Yiva'er.
Tishbi Yiva'er.
Kushios.
Kushios. Yeah.
You want me to write it down for you?
Yeah, no, I'm right.
Kushios Uvayos. Ubayot.
Ubayot.
Like a baya, yeshli baya.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tishbi, Eliyahu and Navi will yiva'er, will clarify, will clear up
your
difficulties and your questions. If God gave us the oral law, says the Rav, shouldn't it encompass all answers? How can the Gemara be so inconclusive? My father asked this question, Rav Moshe Salvechik Zatzal. He answered, quote, the Gemara's teiku must reflect the unresolved questions within each individual. The Gemara's teiku reflects the unresolved questions in each individual. If a Jew never has to say teiku, if 2 + 2 in your life always equals 4, if all life's questions are answered, he's nothing more than a fool. That's what the Rav writes. Why? Because if you think all your questions are answered, sorry, but they're not. At the same time, the ability to say teiku should not change one's guiding principles or stymie further study. What should you do when you're faced with stiras? What should you do when you're faced with the man? What should you do when I shouldn't leave it over because it's going to get wormy? Now I should leave it over because I'm going to eat it tomorrow. Now you should tell me to leave it till the days of your meal and bias rishon. It's unbelievable. Who came up with such a bread? Every day the rules are different. Isn't that life? Every day something else. Today it's one thing, tomorrow it's another thing. I don't understand anything that's going on. That's the man. Why is it a prerequisite to Matan Torah? Because when God said, you are my mitzvahs, Esav says, I can't keep it. Yishmael says, I can't keep it. Knesset Yisrael says, even though it's full of steros, I can keep it. Sham samlo chok u mishpat. Mishpat, it makes sense. I know I have to do Kibbutz of Aim, it's fifth of the Aseret Dibros. I know I have to do Lo Tirtzach, don't kill, sixth of the Aseret Dibros. I know Lo Tachmod is really wrong, even though my friend has a nicer house, and a nicer donkey, and a nicer field, and better slaves. I know it's wrong to be jealous, to desire, to covet. That's the tenth of the Aseret Dibros. It's a mishpah. Chok? Kashrus? Like, does it really matter if the can of tuna has an oyu or doesn't have an oyu? It's really a difference in the tuna? I hope everyone understands I'm being facetious. Shotness? Shotness?
Right.
I have to pay to have my kochat? Who cares if it's a mixture of linen and oil?
And it's Chazir. A very good mixture. You should know it's a very good mixture because linen keeps the stuff really, really, you know, in shape. It's really a great material.
Yeah, it keeps it
you mean things made of wool and linen?
Are the finest and the best made of all the clothes that are available.
Wait! From a shotness, Shbol like a shotness expert. 1 second. So I just thought of something. 1 minute, please. I want to comment on this comment first. 1 minute. So now we could say something about shotness that I never understood before. If wool and linen make the best mixture, it helps us a little bit understand why you shouldn't wear it. Because the Jew should never think he could reach a state of absolute perfection. A Jew should always take note of the imperfections within himself. I am never complete. I am never the absolute best. I am never totally guarded from the elements. There's always something lacking within me. Very nice. I never knew that. Yes? I can hear.
On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wore shotness.
That's right. The
not only on Yom Kippur.
Right, all the time.
Okay, 1 second. Okay. See, I brought up chukim and I mentioned shotness. Look what's going on here. Okay, listen.
Because for the Kohen Gadol, it was not chok.
No.
No, it is a chok. We really don't understand why we can't and he can.
Please listen. Please listen to me. I think it's the Zohar that brings it down. I should have left off shotness when I mentioned the chukim. Okay, ready? Kayan killed Hevel.
Right.
Good?
Yeah, we know.
Okay. Not really so good, but Kayan killed Hevel.
Right.
Why did Kayan kill Hevel? They brought two different offerings to the Ribono Sha'olam. Hashem accepted Hevel's offering, which was from the animal, and he rejected Kayan's offering, which was from flax. Flax is linen which grows from the ground. Hevel brought sheep, which grows from the lamb. Well, okay. He brought sheep.
Right, but the thing is...
Wait, 1 second, let me just finish. Okay. The wool and the linen were the source of conflict. They were the source of murder. They were the source of sinas chinam, jealousy, brotherly strife. One killed the other. I'm not making this up. This is not my own vart at all, and I believe it's the Zohar brings it down. They killed one another over shotness. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let shotness that caused the divide between brothers be forbidden to you. Who dafka should wear it? And it wasn't only on Yom Kippur, it was in the Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol. Because what is the Kohen Gadol? Hevei mi tamidav shal Aaron, ohev shalem verodev shalem, ohev esabrius umakarvan la Torah. The path of Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, who wore shotness is you should love peace, you shall pursue peace, you shall love people, and you shall bring them close to Torah. The only way to bring people close to Torah is to love them. No, ohev esabrius comes before umakarvan la Torah. That's also not my own part. Makarv on the Torah is not first. If you want to bring people close to Torah, you got to love peace, passive. Pursue peace, active. Love people. Just have Avos Abrius. It doesn't say, oh, Vesa Talmidei Chachamim. It's always Avos Abrius. Makarv on the Torah. Who dafka should wear shanas? Who repairs the sinas chinim, the divide between brothers? Kohen, because that's his role. But nobody else is on the level to wear it. Right. But you added another insight, which I didn't know. We should never think we're so perfect. Very nice. Okay, let's go back to the Rav. If a Jew never had... So what we were talking about before we get back to the Rav is, why did Man have to precede Matan Torah? Because at Matan Torah, when Hashem offered everybody else the Torah, and they said, no, this week's parasha, and we said, call Asher Diber Hashem, this week's parasha, Na'aseh. Ma'aseh v'nishma doesn't come yet. That's in 24/7. I'm not so smart. 24/7, you should keep Torah. It's a great Torah trivia. You should keep Torah 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Asher Diber Hashem, Na'aseh v'nishma, Shemos 24/7. Teaching you a trick. Someone taught it to me. In this week's parsha, we say, "Kol asher diber Hashem na'asa." What does Moshe say about the man when they come to Moshe and they say, "You know, doesn't add up, Rabbi." Right? Who asher diber Hashem? Who asher diber Hashem? Kol asher diber Hashem na'asa. We understand that to be a Jew is full of stiros. To be a Jew is a life of contradiction. Nevertheless, even though I have the experience of the man, I can do, I will accept, I want Torah. If a Jew never has to say teiku, says the Rav, if all life's questions are answered, he is nothing more than a fool. At the same time, the ability to say teiku should not change my guiding principle. One must take note of the difficulty and then move on. Unanswerable, unexplained tragedies have likewise accompanied the Jew in his long history. A Jew regularly recites a blessing upon eating. Before I drink this wine, I'm going to make a shakol, ne'ya bedvaro. Upon satisfying his hunger, I'm going to say berakat hamazon. At that moment, all is well. He is healthy. He is in possession of his faculties, so he blesses God. One can sense the presence of God in those moments. In cruel contrast, writes the Rav, upon the tragic death of a loved one, God forbid lo aleinu, as he tears his clothing at the moment of greatest grief, a Jew also recites a blessing. Make a bracha, motzi lechem min hashamayim, on the man the first 5 days, when it makes sense one way, and then you make a bracha on the man when it makes sense a different way. And when this contradicts this, tomorrow you told me don't leave it over, it's going to be rotten. Today you tell me leave it over to tomorrow and you should eat it. Now you're telling me put away its incentives. In 40 years, in 50 years, in 100 years, it's still going to be good.
That's interesting. Was that ever a bracha? It's an interesting bracha.
So I read it a few years ago that that's what Moshe instituted, that they should say upon the man. But yeah. I don't remember where I read it, so I can't tell you the source.
Right. I never heard that.
This expresses, says the Rav, a person's ability to sometimes engage in passive acceptance. And that's the prerequisite to Matan Torah. It's not only a bread of emunah, it's a bread of contradiction. But I thought was fascinating is that if you look through Parshas B'Shalach, which is an action-packed parsha, it's very hard to choose what to focus on because you want to focus on everything. What emerges is that actually all of the events of Parshas B'Shalach were prerequisites to Matan Torah. We needed to go through the stories and the occurrences of B'Shalach in order to be ripe for Torah. The first thing we faced was... I just saw something. I was going to say Kriyas Yamsu, but that's not correct. The prerequisite to Matan Torah is Yikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef, but I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words. No, that's the words. Yikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef Imo. Ooh. Wow. If Parshas B'Shalach is a prerequisite to Torah, and we're going to see that each instance or situation represents a different aspect that we must know Torah involves. This is very important. You have to have a chrayis to your fellow Jew. Don't leave them behind. What is represented in this first major, even though shortly narrated situation, Moshe took a chrayis for the Atzmos Yosef, that you don't leave your brother behind, not in life, and not in death. Of course, it's a telling comment into society today. Those who are davening for Elor Azaria, who metaphorically are we leaving him behind, who is facing jail sentence for shooting the terrorist last year, Purim. Where are the bones of Hadar Golden and Aron Shaul, who were killed in Operation Sok Eitan 2 years ago? On Arad, Zechariah Baumel, Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef Imo, because he made the Bnei Yisrael swear, when you get out of here, take my bones with you. It's not forgetting, the first step to Matan Torah is a chrayis for our fellow Jew. It's responsibility for another Jew. I once heard a beautiful vart told over. I actually remember who told it. Rabbi Levinson told it over. The Shloshim for Beryl Schwartzbad, Alav HaShalom. And he said that when you open the Gemara, every tractate, every Masechta starts on page, Amad, base. Two. Where's one? There's one. So he why isn't it starting on page one?
No, the Torah also starts with two operations based.
Okay. So what's the Mr. Haskell? So he told over a beautiful story that after Churban Europa, when the Jews, Sha'irisa Plita, came to America and they reestablished communities here, there was a certain chabura in Williamsburg. I believe it was with the Satmar Rebbe. I heard this like 5 years ago. I believe it was with the Satmar Rebbe. And they would learn, but they would always come for Shir. But before Shir, the Rebbe would always say, "How are you? How was your week? How's business going? Is there anything I could help you with?" Sometimes it would take up a large part of the Shir before they would actually get to the Gemara. So he one time explained, Beis is the Gemara. Aleph is, how are you? Aleph is a daf Aleph Jew, is one who cares about his fellow Jew. So if you want to accept the Torah, the first thing you have to know is you're always going to have to carry Atzmos Yosef with you. You always have to have a chrayus for another Jew. It leads directly into Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har Kish Echa Belev Echa Tzuz Rashi 19.3 in our Perek. Perek Yates Pesu Gimel. They come to the wilderness of Sinai and they want to get the Torah. And how do you have to be? With achdus, with respect, with genuine love and concern. Camp is one people. Yosef's bones are important to you. He's from a different shevet, a different tribe, as the bones of your own mother, or the bones of your own father. So you have to have a Christ, another Jew. First prerequisite for Torah. Yes?
The word itself, Atzmos, is etzem. Etzem means the
essence of something.
The essence of something.
Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. Atzmos Yosef, the etzem of something, is the heart of the matter, so to speak. So this Atzmos Yosef is really being a daf Aleph Jew. It relates to Vayichan Sham Yisrael, but Moshe had to set the example as the leader. Next we come to his Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the goddess of Kriyas Yamsuf? Hishtados. The sea did not split till what happened. Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Maseches Sota 37a, Nachshon Ben Aminadav jumped in. Matitzak Eli, Moshe is praying. The people are screaming. The Egyptians are coming. The sea is churning. And God says, Yididai tovim bayam, va'ata marich betfila, the Gemara says, my beloved are drowning in the sea and you're davening. Stop. So Moshe said, God, what should I do? He says, stretch out your hand, vayisu. They have to travel forth. These are not a people who are used to doing hishtadlus. Everything in Egypt was done for them. They were not a proactive people. Not their fault. They spent 210 years, 116 years in Shiva Mitzrayim. They were oppressed. They were abused. They were beaten. They were ridiculed. They were demeaned. They don't know what it means to be a proactive people. Yetzias Mitzrayim, lo teitze ish mi pesach beso al boker. Rav Salvechik says there is absolutely no hishtadlus by Makas Bechoros in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani velo mbalch, ani velo sarf, ani velo acher. It was all God. Come to Kriyas Yamsuf, 7 days later, it's a totally different scenario. Now God says, you're entering a new reality. You're marching to Torah. Ein somchim al hanes. You should know what life is about. You're not relying on miracles anymore. You're getting the Torah and you're going to Eretz Yisrael. That was supposed to be their path. And what are you going to be? Proactive people. The Torah is full of mitzvos. And halachos that teach us how to be active within the framework of halacha. Vayisu matitzak elai. You're davening too long. Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yar yam tchila. Nachshon jumped up. So the second ingredient for Kabbalah Satorah, wow. The first ingredient for Kabbalah Satorah and Parshas Bashach is the etzem of the matter. What's the etzem of the matter? Be a daf Aleph Jew. You're responsible for your brother. Don't leave him on the battlefield. Don't leave him in the Nile. Don't leave him in Galus. Don't leave him behind. When you got a freedom, remember him. It's poetic justice that it was Dafka Moshe who was responsible for the bones of Yosef. What tribe is Moshe from? Levi. Who is responsible for the sale of Yosef? Levi and Shimon. Ah, hine bal chalamasol azaba. Look who's coming. Moshe was masakim for the sin, if you will, of his father. Not his literal father. Kriyas Yamsuf is about Hishtados. Mara. One second, please. Barachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam. Shalkol Ne'ya B'dvaro.
Amen.
Talking about Stiro. Shalkol. Kol Asher Diber Hashem. Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Everything Hashem says. It's for his will. Ha! Water. We're coming up to Mara.
Just point something out. Actually, the action, the first action of Tuesday was not the Kriyas Yamsuf. Could you talk a little louder, please? Your first action was taking the sack. That was what they did.
Taking.
Of the carbon pesach, preparing the carbon pesach was an action. So that
correct.
Was really the first action of preparing the
matzah. Yes, in Mitzrayim they take the carbon pesach.
The part of Moshe taking Etzot Mount Yosef, that was as an individual, but as a nation, the act of their taking the sack, that was an act of their first
okay,
action.
Very nice. Very nice. The carbon pesach they also had to do because the time for the kates arrived. Ash says in Chazal, and they had no zchusim, they had nothing. So va'avarlech va'erich misposesis b'damayich. They saw God passed over. He saw us rolling in our blood, and he says b'damayichai two bloods, blood of mila and the blood of carbon pesach. Very nice. The only thing I'm going to say, you bring up a valid point. Carbon pesach was like the first hishtados. First of all, after Karmel Kesach, during Makas Bechoros, they weren't allowed to go out. So the actual Yetziah came not from any of their own status. The salvation was not by their status. However, by the time Karmel Pesach came, Egypt was already destroyed. And there was no threat to their very being from taking the Karmel Pesach. So it was an act of Hishtadus that was in a way easier than Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf required them to jump into raging, churning waters. And the Gemara says Nachshon was up to his nose and he was davening to Hashem to save him.
But doesn't Rashi comment on the fact that it was dangerous for Jew to take a
yes, because they were taking the god, the deity,
deity
of Egypt. We don't see any evidence, certainly not from the Pshat, that the Mitzvah were coming after them. They took it 4 days in advance, they tied it up to the bedpost, nothing happened to them. I hear your point, it's a valid point, but there still was a difference in the Ishtadlus by Kriyas Yamsuf and Karban Pesach. But your point is taken. Then we come to Mara. What does Mara teach us about life? Sometimes it's going to be bitter. As I get older, life is just hard. Life is just hard. Life is very beautiful. You know, my brother who teaches me so much, Rabbi Dov Fried, so I was texting with him yesterday. So I said I was going to last night I was going out to dinner in honor of a friend's birthday party, her 40th birthday. So I said how wonderful this friend is, how good she was to me when I moved to the neighborhood, when my husband was not well, etc. I've been friends with her since kindergarten. So my brother has such a partial way of seeing things. So he said, replied, Hashem gives us such nice things in life. I have to just focus on something small that's really not so small. Focus on the brachas. Having said that, v'lo yachulish dosamay mimara kimarim hei. Life is also bitter. And that's the name Miriam. It's mar, it's yam. Sometimes it's bitter, sometimes there's the water of life, sometimes there's mayim. Life is bitter. And that is another thing that we have to accept as Jews. So perhaps this class really is about some of the fundamentals of faith, which are prerequisites for Torah. Because if you really want to accept Torah the way God meant it to be accepted, then we have to accept certain fundamentals. I got to be a daf alef Jew. I have to be a Jew of proactivity and hishtadus, different situations like you brought up, sometimes at the risk of my own life. I have to be a Jew who is aware that sometimes life is bitter. Nevertheless, says the Rav, this should not stymie further study. Take note of the difficulty and move on. Do what you can to make it sweet. Moshe threw a tree in. And then it was palpable? Am I saying the word right?
Yeah.
Not palpable? Yeah. I remember after the three boys were found, Ayal, Gilad, and Naphtali, may God avenge their blood. And at the time, my twins were only 8 years old. But one of the boys is a very serious, introspective, mature beyond his years. He asked me routinely what happened yet to Elor Azariah. Has he been sentenced? He's davening for him every day. Wanted to know what happened. I said I didn't see the sentencing came out. So after the three boys were found, and he davened for 18 nights after Shema, please let Eliyahu, Gilad, and Naphtali come home safely. And then I had to tell him that, of course, I remember where I was sitting. I remember where I was at 9/11. Every person is a world. I remember where I was when I found out that their bodies were found. I had to tell him. So I told him, I never saw a child for three strangers who he never saw and doesn't know, was so distraught and crying like an adult. And I was afraid for his amuna, talking about amuna. I said, do you want to talk to Rosh Hashiva? Do you want to go talk to your rabbi? It was very difficult. But one of the things I told him is that it's, even though I said it's very difficult to be a Jew, it's also very beautiful to be a Jew. And that's Mara. The same water was bitter, and it became sweet. How? Because Moshe threw in a tree. Sometimes we do something or take a certain action to make the very thing that's bittersweet. These are all foundations for Kabbalah's HaTorah. If you want to say Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Na'asa, everything that God says I'm going to do, you have to know what it entails. And in fact, what do you tell the convert when he wants to come to convert? Don't you know, the Gemara says, it's hard to be a Jew? Don't you know they hate us? Don't you know we're reviled? Don't you know you have to keep X, Y, and Z? Don't you know the man doesn't make any sense? Are you sure you really want this? Listen, I was born into it. But you, don't you know? The people, was like a mass conversion at Mount Har Sinai. The people had to be informed. Wow! Who informed them? Ribbono Shel Olam. What do? We try to discourage the gear. And if he really wants, then we know he's sincere. Then we know he's one of those lost souls from the house of Avram. What happened to all the people? The 10,000 people, the myriad, thousands of people that Avram taught Torah to, they became lost. And through the generations, they come back to us. Rus was one of those people because she came from Lot. Lot was one of the people that Avram converted, so to speak, who became lost. So the Jews are all coming back. So Hashem says what we say to the ger. You know, it's really hard. You sure you want this? And Esav says, no, thank you. And Yishmael says, no, thank you. It's not for me. Knesset Yisrael is able to say, even though I'm going to have a chrayis for my fellow Jew, I have to be a daf aleph Jew, and even though I have to jump into the raging sea of life, and it's really not so good. I don't always want to do that. And even though I'm going to come to places of bitter water, I have to strive to make it sweet. And then we come to the man. After Mara, we come to the man. The man we've already looked at in detail. The man is a bread of contradiction that does not seem to make any sense. Nevertheless, hu asher diber Hashem. And the final passage in Parashat Bishalach, which, yes.
I think there seems to be another contradiction. Moshe was so busy looking for Atzmos Yosef, and he worried to take them out. And poor Moshe, his Atzmos, never get buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Very nice.
They're left.
Okay, very nice. First of all, it was by the decree of God that they weren't allowed to go out. But you're saying there's some sort of major irony in the fact that he who went to such a tircha to look for Atzmos Yosef, the Medrash says, I just came across it yesterday in my preparations, the Medrash says he went to Serach Bas Asher because she was still alive from that generation. The Medrash says he went to Serach Bas Asher, Serach the daughter of Asher, and he said to her, where is Moshe buried? Yosef. And she told him.
Yosef.
Yeah, thank you, Yosef, yes. Okay, and she's so you're saying what irony? Yeah, so she said he's buried in the Nile River. Ale Shur, Yosef is compared to Shur, an ox, and the coffin rose. And Moshe, Moshe didn't know where it was buried. It was Sarach Bas Asher who told him. So you're saying there's a tremendous irony here, and that is that he who was responsible to schlep those bones for 40 years in the desert, his bones were not allowed in Eretz Yisrael. So we spoke before about chukim, and it is another contradiction in life. Rav Salvechik says elsewhere, how do I know that Moshe struck the rock in Parshas Chukas? Also not so smart. Torah trivia. Chok is a law we don't understand. Rav Salvechik says the chok of the Torah is Moshe not being allowed in Eretz Yisrael. And yet, what does Rav Salvechik say? Well, I must take note of the difficulty and move on. Unanswerable, unexplained tragedies have likewise accompanied the Jew in his long history, which brings us to the final lesson, pre-Matan Torah and Bashalach. And what is that? Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachim, Im Yisrael, Berufidim. That is the final thing you have to know if you want to join this people. Mechama, Amalek, Dor, Dor. Amalek came and they fought with Israel and Rephidim. And the Jew has to know, and he prepares. What did I say to my son? I said, it's very beautiful to be a Jew, but it's also very painful to be a Jew. I saw something. You would think that's a stira, but it's not. It doesn't contradict each other. Talking about contradictions, you would think it's difficult to be a Jew, and it's beautiful to be a Jew, are stira, but actually they're not. They coexist. Two opposing truths coexist when it comes to our life. And that is, yes, it's difficult, and yes, it's beautiful. And those two things that should not go hand in hand actually do go hand in hand. And the final lesson, the final stira, the final prerequisite for Torah is a Malik is going to come. We're coming up to Purim. Haman is Mizar Malik. Halacha Yodua, it is a known halacha, says Rashi, Esav Sone Liyakov. A Malik is, he says that when Esav and Yaakov meet again, Vayichabkehu, and he kissed him. What's Esav really going to do? Yaakov doesn't know. He divides up his camp. We're not sure what Esav's going to do. Esav is Amalek. Esav is the father, of course, of Amalek. Haman is the grandson, therefore. Coming up to Purim, coming up to Pesach, B'chol dar v'dar, amdi malenu, l'chaloseinu, in each and every generation, they stand up to arise us. And Miriam Peretz, and I heard her say this, not from the book, I heard her, and she spoke, and they were told, Erev Shabbat HaGadol, that her son Eliraz had been killed. Eliraz was the second son that she lost in battle in the Gaza Strip. He was 31 years old. He was the father of four children, the oldest being six, the youngest being a baby. The oldest was named after his fallen brother, or Chadash Uriel was his name, and new light should shine upon Tzion Uriel. And they were told that he was killed just as Shabbat HaGadol was coming in. Shiva was obviously very short. And she says that at the Pesach Seder, they sat down and they lifted their kos. I said, B'chol dar v'dar, amdi malenu l'chaloseinu. And she says, in Uriel's generation, it was his bala. In Eliraz's generation, it was Hamas. She says, in our generation. And that's the final lesson. Hashem says, if you know all these things, if you're ready to have a chrayis for your fellow Jew, you're from a different tribe, your father sold him, have a chrayis. Put aside your differences, because if you want to come to Torah, it could only be Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'ar. Israel is a singular. 2.5 million people, you tell me it camped, he camped at the mountain? Yes, says Rashi, Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. Your heart is Yosef's heart. What if it was your father's bones lying in the Nile River? So the first thing, and that's why B'Shalach starts with that. Wow. Because that's Daf Aleph Jew. And then you have to know that the halacha demands that we be proactive people. Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yukom Damo, says, Zrizus doesn't mean rushed. Zrizus means alacrity. He says, if you're rushed, you're probably late. I love it. Sometimes I think of it to myself this morning when I was, then I ended up not being rushed, but I thought I was going to be rushed. It's tremendous. You have to have alacrity to be a Jew. The sea only split. The Gemara says, every tribe was standing there saying, Ein anu yoreid techil el yom, I'm not going in. V'zeh omer, Ein anu yoreid techil el yom, and this one saying, I'm also not going in. So God said, you're all not going, the sea's not going to split. Because you want to be a Jew, you got to be an active person. You have to have zrizus, by Ashkim Avram Baboger. You have to be a dafa of Jew. You have to be an active Jew. You have to know that you're going to come to bitter waters and you're not going to be able to drink because it's so bitter. But nevertheless, try and make it sweet. Throw in the tree branch. Put a little bit of Torah. Ta'amu uru ki tov Hashem. Taste, you will see Hashem is good. What's bitter can become sweet in life. We have the man, which is a bread entirely of stira. I never recognized till this year. I never realized. The whole man doesn't make sense. The whole thing. It's such a pella to me. Okay, says God. Take note of the difficulty and move on. But the final lesson before you come to Matan Torah, is the final lesson of Beshalach. And that's Amalek. Vayizanu b'cha kol nechshalim acharecha va'ata ayif v'yegev lo yare elokim. I'm actually quoting from Sefer Devarim. When we read about it in Kiseitze, but of course you can't look at one passage without the other passage. They strike us when we're the weak ones at the rear. Ki macho emcha ezecha amalek mitachas hashemayim. God says, you should know, I will destroy them, but it's going to be in a long time. When is it going to be? When Teiku comes, when Eliyahu Navi comes, and he will yavar, he will make clear our kushios of ice. If we learn all of that, then you're ready for Torah. Daf Aleph Jew, Hishtadlus and Zrizos, no more. Why did Paro say, ooh, Nirpim, Atam Nirpim? Paro said, you're lazy people. And Hashem says, you got to be the antithesis of lazy people. Take note of the bitterness, make it sweet. I know you're going to be battling a wicked, cruel enemy in every generation. Do you still want the Torah, you say to the convert? You want a part in this nation? And if they're able to say yes, it's so beautiful. You accept them with open arms, because that's exactly the pattern Knesset Yisrael had to undergo on our path to Torah. And if you're ready to do all that, b'chodesh ha'shlishi, let's say b'nei Yisrael meretz Yitzrayim. It's not beautiful? It's so beautiful. It's our whole life. It's our whole life. Woe to he that who thinks that Torah is a book of antiquity that belongs in a library shelf. I feel bad. On the third month, when the children of Israel left Egypt, on this day, Sheyehuyu, what a beautiful way to end the class. Divrei Torah chadashim alecha ki'ilu hayam nichna. Every day it's new, because every single day the Torah is speaking to us again. And every day HaKadosh Baruch says, do you want a portion? Even though you know what it entails. They traveled from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, and Israel camped there opposite the mountain. We already quoted Rashi about Achdas. Moshe went up to Elohim. Kol Somer lebeis Yaakov, v'sagad lebnei Yisrael. Let's just, I guess, finish with this insight. Oh. So you shall say to the house of Yaakov and tell the Bnei Yisrael, Rashi famously says, who was given the Torah first? Who should he speak to first? The Beis Yisrael, Elu? Hanashim. These are the women. Speak to them in Lashon Raka, in a soft language. Tell the Beis Yaakov first, and then the Bnei Yisrael after. I wanted to say more, but our time is up. But I'll just end and say, Rav Salvechik says, why the Beis Yaakov first? Because Rav Salvechik says, people are mistaken. Very, very famous hesped he gave for the Talmud Rabbitson. People are mistaken in thinking there's only one Masorah and one Masorah community. We think there's the Masorah of the fathers, but that's not true. We have two Masorot, two traditions, two communities, two Shalshalot Kabbalah, chains of tradition. The Masorah of the father and the Masorah of the mother. And then he quotes this pasuk, Kol Somer LeBeis Yaakov, Elu HaNashim, V'Sagad LeBnei Yisrael, these are the men. What is the difference? One learns much from the father. How to read a text, the Torah, the Talmud, how to comprehend, how to analyze, how to conceptualize, how to classify, how to infer. One learns from the father what to do and what not to do. Father teaches the son discipline and action. What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? Oh, I have to skip. It's so beautiful. He talks about how he used to see his mother talking to God, reciting her Friday night prayers, reading the Sidra every Friday night. What did the Rav learn from his mother? Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but as a living experience. She teaches the son there is a flavor, a scent, a warmth to mitzvos. I learned from my mother, says the Rav, the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and his hand resting upon my shoulder. Without her teachings, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbos, Shamar Siyam HaShabbos Kachal, Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Kachal, were passed on to be by my father. The Shabbos is a queen was revealed to me by my mother. The fathers knew about Shabbos, the mothers lived Shabbos. experienced her presence, and perceived her beauty. Fathers taught generations how to observe Shabbos. Mothers taught generations how to greet Shabbos. Shema b'ni, he quotes, Musa Arvicha, listen to the Musa of your father, Al Titosh, Torah Simecha, do not forget the Torah of your mother. We should be Zocha, to be a Daf Aleph Jew, to always have Zrizus in life, jump forth even when the waters are rushing. We should always know that when we come to bitter, perhaps it can be sweet, and that when we are faced with contradictions, we take note and we move on. And even though Amalek may come at the end of days, Ba'akosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Miyadam. And with all that, Hashem says, you're informed, but you're ready. And then we can say, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem, all that God has spoken, Na'asa, or Na'asa V'nishma. But as is Hashem, we should be Zohar to be a Kli, a vessel that is Rui for Hasharis Hashchina and Kabbalah Satorah. Amen, v'amen. Thank you. Does anyone have questions, yes, ladies? Yes.
I wanted to say about the supposed contradiction of the two truths of Judaism, that Judaism can be difficult, there's a lot to do, and yet it's beautiful. The thing that you work hardest for is the thing you value the most.
Okay.
When I make challah, and I bake it, and it's not so easy sometimes with my arthritic fingers, I value that challah, I enjoy that challah more than the one that I bought in the store.
Of course.
And so the Torah might be perceived as difficult for us to be able to do, but that's what makes it so beautiful. We appreciate it more because it took us much more to do it. Then the other thing,
the Gemara says three things are acquired with Yisurin: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba.
The other thing I wanted to answer about Atzmos Yosef, that maybe what we're learning from that is even the greatest tzaddik sometimes might have to be mevater on himself in order to do a mitzvah for another Jew.
What are you saying?
That Moshe Rabbeinu did that mitzvah of bringing Atzmos Yosef to that it should be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he did not have that tzchus himself, and he had to be mevater on that because
that's what it means to be a daf aleph Jew.
Right.
Responsible, right. And this one is for somebody else. Yes, beautiful.
Can I just make an announcement,
ladies? I would like to know if anybody here who has an hour to give to stay with a woman.